Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
You guys can team up because I have my new teammate on this panel.
Yeah, with the closers in. Let's go. Yeah.
That's right. Let's give the proper introduction. I mean, if we just went by what she does with SMU, we'd think she's amazing. But she also covers our Dallas Stars for the Dallas Morning News. She is awesome. Let's welcome Leah Simakopoulos. Okay.
Sick t-shirt. Sick t-shirt.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You did. You're representing. I absolutely love that. Okay. So give me your thoughts on Jake Ottinger. And then for the panel, if that's the case, should we see a little bit more of Casey DeSmith?
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. My thoughts on the whole Jake situation, kind of dating back to the Pete stuff that Sean brought up is, sorry, can you hear me?
There you go.
There we go. I feel like a lot of this has just kind of been, and I'm going to kind of twofold here. I think a lot of it's been kind of blown up in this national storyline of Jake Ottinger has so much to prove, whereas here in Dallas, I do feel like, yes, I know there's a lot of fans that maybe don't think he's the right guy, but I think within the organization, they feel like he's their guy, and they feel like he has proven a lot. Maybe it was a couple years ago where he had his, you know, his peaks, but maybe it hasn't been a whole series, but he's had his moments, and I think that, you know, sure, he has opportunity to grow. Jim Neal kind of put it out there at the end of the season when he said he needs to be more consistent. That kind of stood out to me. Yeah. As yeah. I didn't expect Jim to say that. Jim will kind of go to bat for his guys. So I thought that that was, you know, telling. But I don't think that, you know, this whole narrative of, you know, Jake Ottinger has been nothing but a disappointment and Pete DeBoer was right. Like, I think that that isn't true. And I think that people need to be careful what they wish for, because if Jake Ottinger goes and gets traded somewhere else, like, what's the alternative? I think that Casey DeSmith has shown a lot and maybe does deserve to be used a little more, but I don't think that he's a starting goalie for this team right now. So, you know, I think that Jake kind of gets a lot of pressure put on him and he puts it on himself, and I don't think that people kind of always take into account that he understands as well kind of what he needs to do. I think this year will be telling, though.
Then I throw this out to the panel. The goalie can only do so much compared to other teams with maybe better defensive cores.
Sure.
Or I just personally feel as though the Stars goaltenders get a lot more pressure than maybe some other teams' goaltenders.
Sure.
That's just my perception.
Sure. By top eight contenders. I think that's an important line here, right? Like, we talk all of the time, and that's good, right? Like, expectation. And this is where it comes back to, we talk about Jake and having to prove things and everything like that. The big thing is Jake Ottinger has been a tremendous NHL goalie. He has not been a failure in any sense of the word. But the reality is, for this team and for what his expectation and his contract and everything is, you got to play. You have to be a top five, top seven goalie in the world. And I think when you look at the Stars' defense corps, if you were to go, hey, rank the top 32 defense corps, like, there's, I don't know, there's probably, if you were to name a team at random, there's probably 25 teams that would, at a snap, trade their defense corps for the Stars, no questions asked. But the problem, it's just the issue, and the Stars' issue has been, obviously not this past year, they were done in round one, but the past couple years in the Final Four has been the defense corps that have gotten that 16th victory have been that much a little bit better, right? And so, like, Gavin, you say, like, Jake's under fire more than others and everything like that, it's so easy to look at it compared to, okay, what does it look like for the goalies in Carolina? Or what does it look like for the goalies, what does it look like for them in Florida? Obviously not last year with the injuries. And I think that's one of the things that we have to remember, where there's a line of expectation for the Stars. And with expectation comes pressure and extra, and that's a privilege, right? But at the same time, if you want to be judged against the other 32 NHL teams, they're fine. If you want to be judged against the top four or five teams in the league and the goal is to be that team that's celebrating in June, we have to be more critical. And I think that's where this all comes down. This is goes back to Jake's point. Like, Leah makes a great point where Jake is not a failure. He's been a very good NHL goalie and everything like that. But the reality is, everything about this team is, oh, they're all in, they're going to win, and everything like that. And that's the goal. And when you are very public about that with your actions and how you look at things, that's where we kind of get this extra, okay, we have to take the extra microscope. It's fun, right? Like, it is fun. Like, it's more fun to be talking about the differences between being a top eight team in the league and a top four team or a Stanley Cup champion. And that's a lot of fun, but it also comes with some, it changes your view of what the world is. Like, there's a lot of other franchises that I've said this before would kill to have the Dallas Stars problems too. So I think that's an important context that we always kind of have to remember here with us too. When you talk about, like, hey, Jake faces, like, you know what? I'm sure Jake would not like to play behind the defense in Seattle. I'm sure Jake would not like to play behind a bunch of other defenses right now. So it's, push on that a little bit.
Yeah. Listen, I want to throw this out to you guys because interesting to hear from the fan base. And then our panel will respond.
Everybody shout your answers all at once, as loud as possible.
No, just do it by applause. If you disagree with this, then don't applaud. How many of you would like to see Jason Robertson sign a long-term deal here? Yeah. That's good. That's good. People are happy. That's interesting. Brian Ray.
Why do I always get called out first?
Because you're our special guest.
Were you going to also put it on the people to say who doesn't want him to sign a long-term deal?
I mean, we were going to go by lack of applause, but we'll do that.
I don't know. Applause,
how many people think that this should be the last year of Jason Robertson? Okay, we got some people.
Now we have data.
We know the three people who had their cat run over by Jason Robertson in his previous time here in Dallas now.
He would never do that to a cat.
No, he loves cats too much.
Jason would never run over a cat.
That's true, yeah. Dog.
Part three of this Q&A, but there are no promises, but if I say to you, no Jason Robertson, but I'm giving you three high-quality players in return for that, how many people want that instead? Okay, so it's... Listen, people in this audience want Jason Robertson here for a long time.
They love a homegrown guy.
Yeah, no, absolutely, and that's important. So I am going to start with you because you're our special guest, Brian.
Sure. I think everybody here has been a special guest.
Yeah.
But I love how you single out the team employee. If I say something wrong about Jason Roberts, I'm going to get a phone call from Brad Albert saying, what are you doing, man?
Tell Brad to call me. We always have great chats.
No, look. So what was the question? Jason Robertson long-term?
Yeah, I mean, I think, I'll be honest with you, I was going back and forth for a while depending on the number.
That's the big thing for me. Mm-hmm. What's the number going to be? And that's why I think January 1 up to the trade deadline. And Jim even said this in our press conference with him after they announced the one-year deal, and Leah, pipe in here because you were there as well, but they've talked, he has spoken about every possible scenario with Jason Robertson in his camp. So there's a lot of information that both sides have for what each side wants, what each side needs, and is there any carryover where they can find the sweet spot in the middle. So we're going to learn a lot in that first three-month segment of the new year as to whether there could be a long-term possibility with Jason Robertson here. For me, it comes back to the number, because I do think watching the way the NHL has handed out their Stanley Cup trophies the last handful of years, you cannot kill your depth by getting too top-heavy. Toronto. Been too top heavy. Colorado got their cup. You could argue they're still a little too top heavy. Florida's finding a way to keep guys under market value. Carolina just won this year. That is a team that has been built through depth. It's been built through their four lines and their pairs. But Vegas, same thing when they won their cup. If that number gets too high, you're going to handcuff Jim Nill's ability to strengthen that bottom six. And also, I mean, this is Glenn Gullitson's second year. So now you have 1 year of data of how does Glenn Gullitson want this team to play And do you have the right bodies in the right places to get to where he believes his team can be at? There's also that. I mean, you were trying to massage this team in the identity of your new head coach as well, second-year head coach. That's where it's always going to be about the number for me. And we're seeing the market change. I mean, $18 million players now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can do that, personally. I don't think that can happen.
Agreed.
I do think that this offseason, as much as we didn't learn a lot, it was telling in certain ways, kind of from both sides. Like, Jim Neal really stood his ground. I mean, it was very clear that he was not going to budge on his number, and his number was $12 million, and that was what they agreed to for their one-year deal. So I do think that he's kind of learned from his past decisions and maybe, okay, we can give someone a little bit more here, but it comes and bites them later. So I think that he's going to walk away if he has to walk away. But on the flip side of that, it surprised me, the whole messaging of Jason Robertson wants to be a Dallas star. And, you know, some people might disagree with that and say that he could have taken a more team-friendly deal now, or, you know, could have signed an eight-year deal now and he can't get eight now, whatever. But if it was all about the money, he would have signed in Seattle, like, or he would have gone somewhere else, mm-hmm. and he would have taken an offer sheet, whatever. So I think that if they can, I think that they want to find a way to make it work. I think it's going to be, as Brian said, a lot of telling and difficult conversations between January 1st and March, whatever it is.
It's always the first week of March,
yeah,
whatever the date is.
I think it's
is.
A Monday this year, which is different. So whatever that date is. But, yeah, it's going to be a big storyline. And, I mean, I'm just curious of how is this going to impact the team? What's it going to look like? How do people feel about it? How does Thomas Harley feel about his position in this team right now? There's a lot of up-in-the-air things heading into this season, and it was just a weird off season, and I think it just feels very unsettling going into this year. Nothing's really resolved.
Well, one of the things we talked about, Robert, was people were wondering, will he sign or will he not? But all you saw Jason Robertson at the World Cup. You saw Jason Robertson spending a lot of time.
Yeah, like every game of the World Cup.
Every game of the World Cup. He was at Rangers games.
I mean, he made a lot of money before the $12 million deal. I think he's not hurting for money to go to World Cup
point,
games.
My point is that he stayed here.
The point is, the tickets were overpriced for the World Cup, Sean.
Yes. This is what I've been saying. FIFA.
He gave every indication that he likes Dallas.
He did. But I keep coming back to the fact that we saw a very similar situation with a player who is with one franchise, who scored a lot of big goals for them, in Mikko Rantanen in Colorado. Mikko wanted to be in Colorado. He was pretty honest about that. He did not think he was going to get traded. Ultimately, it was negotiations. He was going into the final year of his deal, just as Jason Robertson is doing, before unrestricted free agency. And you could tell he was not expecting to get traded to Carolina when he did in mid-January. Jason Robertson, by all accounts, wants to be in Dallas. It's just a numbers thing. They have to figure it out. But if you get to a similar point in mid-January with, you know, what, 6-7 weeks before the trade deadline, and you're Jim Neal, you probably have to look at making a similar decision as Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic did 2 years ago with Mikko Rantanen. That's just the reality of it. Everything can line up, because exactly what Leah said, by all accounts, it seems like he wants to be here. Everything we've seen is if the number is workable, that it should work. But we've seen it happen before where a player wants to be there, and if the math doesn't work, the math doesn't work, and it stinks in the short term, but you have to be prepared for that eventuality. Colorado can live with getting Natchez in the package they got, although it stung a little bit. I think something happened the spring after that trade. I can't recall exactly, but I think Mikko Rantanen did something in the playoffs.
I believe there was more goals in one period than Marty Natchez had in entire two postseasons.
Two postseasons combined,
Do you think if you're Jim Neal, you think back to that and say, okay, if I'm going to trade Jason Robertson, it's got to be a sign and trade, and he's got to commit 8 years to somewhere so that he doesn't get flipped just like Mikko Rantanen did and ends up at a Colorado or somewhere like that?
If you're any GM with a player like that and you want the return you want,
of course,
in today's NHL, no team's making the deal unless they have the contract in place.
Yep.
So,
but I also think if we're talking monetary, it has to do with timing as well. Because I think a lot of us say, like, oh, all of a sudden, like, okay, we cannot pay Jason Robertson more than Mikko Rantanen. But now we're looking at Kaprizov, we're looking at Cutter Gauthier, we're looking at all these young kids, and the price keeps going up. My point is that...
So it's the kids that are the problem, you're saying.
Why can't you pay him more than Mikko Rantanen? Because if you look...
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the cap is going up. It's kind of a product of when you sign your contract.
It's the timing more than the comparison.
Jim Nill admitted when they had the press conference after Robertson signed that they were not working on an internal cap.
Yeah.
They were not. Take him at his word. Don't take him at his word. But he publicly said there was not an internal cap in place that they were dealing with. We all want the answer now because it's juicier stories. But it's once again I love simple math. Jason Robertson gets to decide this season whether his market value is going up, staying the same, or going down.
Yeah.
He's got full control over that. Jim Nill is going to do whatever he deems is best for the future of the Dallas Stars in trying to win a Stanley Cup. And then Jason Robertson, when he's a UFA at the end of the season, gets to decide what are the most important factors of my future hockey career beyond this year. They're either going to find some chemistry and some crossover there, or they're not. And we're going to learn in real time, like I said again, come around that first half of 2027, where everybody's at on all this.
You're an absolute beast, man. I say it on the podcast. You're great at your job.
Well, everybody else is too good at their job.
Yeah.
No, I mean, no, don't get me wrong. Your check's in the mail, all right? I told you that before we came on.
I'm not a good host. These guys make me popular. So
no, it's nice to hear you say that because you were saying the opposite about Brian the other day. So this is nice that you kind of been won over.
I would agree with that. That would not surprise me.
I multiple times have told Brian. I texted Brian during his issues and said, come live with me. Did I not?
You did. You did offer your house up to us.
Yes.
As the workers were installing the new AC.
Yeah, I know. I was totally late to the party, but, you know. Yes. Thank you so much for making the trip up to Boomer Jacks. Hey, everybody, warm round of applause for Brian Ray.
Well, I also feel a little guilty because I just looked back and I went, wow, I just had this whole AC conversation and plumbing conversation in front of the
almost said something. I almost said
sorry,
something.
Sorry, guys.
100% the on-time experts, you would have been.
Look at that segue, though. I teed you up.
I mean, you would have been a customer for life. I know I am. You can, too. I won't name the specials right now, but there are a bunch of them, Brian. Thank you again for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.